If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Good morning, Steve Dale, WGN Radio, Steve Dale's Pet World, and Steve Dale's a little nervous this morning because I'm about to speak with a member of the Radio Hall of Fame. Scott, I'm just starting. Hold on. He is the host of NPR's Weekend Edition Saturday and Up First and is a special contributor where I've seen him many times to CBS News Sunday morning. And now, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Radio Hall of Famer, Emmy and Peabody Award winner, Scott Simon. And we hear the applause. Scott, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Steve. Nice to talk to you.
Well,
I'm straining to hear the applause, but I'll take your word for it, okay?
Yeah, I'm sure everyone at home this morning is applauding. What motivated you to write this book, Ulysses S. Cat and Other Animals I Have Known?
Well, it was actually the publisher noticed that I've, you know, over the years, I've talked a lot about animals in war zones, animals in my own family. And she wondered if I was interested in following through that thought. And I was, you know, because as I probably don't have to tell anybody, animals are our running mates throughout life. You know, they're with us almost step by step by step. And we mark milestones with them. They become members of our family. And I thought it was a good idea to try and sort some of this out.
You know, some of what you write sounds like poetry. It's so beautiful. And as I've seen you over the years on CBS News on Sunday mornings, same. But I didn't think twice about it. I thought, oh, that's the style of the program. They have writers writing for television, of course. Scott, I don't know how much of your own material you write on TV, but now I'm thinking you wrote a lot of it. And one great...
I write everything I say.
Wow. Okay.
Which also means I can be prosecuted for it, but I digress. Yeah.
Well, you write in the book... Well, first, I almost don't know where to start, so I want to start with this story.
Yeah.
About when you were young, you had a dog by the name of Penny. And your family and mother cared so much for that dog, you went into a restaurant because you didn't want to leave the dog, or your parents didn't want to leave the dog home alone, and your mother wore a pair of sunglasses for a specific reason that you will now explain.
Well, it was my father's idea, and without saying anything, the whole idea was that when they walked into the restaurant, my mother was expecting me at that point, what people would see was a visibly pregnant woman who was blind, accompanied by their seeing eye dog. Because Penny, our dog, a German Shepherd, was actually a washed-out Chicago police dog. My grandfather, on the Irish side of my family, was a police sergeant in Chicago. Penny washed out of the program. So in any event, they entered the restaurant in Little Italy. And my mother, as she recalled, there was an absolute gasp as people looked up. But, of course, Penny was not a well-trained service dog. So these huge platters of blistering, glistening peppers would come out of the kitchen, and Penny would go... so finally the owner came over and said to my mother and father, you're not blind, are you? And my mother said, well, we couldn't leave our dog at home. And so at that point, everybody in the restaurant was saying, let the dog stay, let the dog stay. And it being Chicago, as I always heard the story, the owner indicated that they had a good relationship with the health inspector. So in any event, they let Penny stay. And look, I probably wouldn't be standing on my own 2 feet today if I hadn't sort of worked at trying to stand up so I could reach up and hug Penny around the neck.
Oh.
I mean, she was that important to me. She was, dare I say it, she was as important to me as my mother and father as I was growing up.
And that is because of the way, as you explain in the book, the way you were brought up. But the book is called Ulysses S. Cat and Other Animals I Have Known. But why did you choose? You write about several animals, more than we can talk about on the radio due to time.
Yeah.
But why Ulysses S. Cat being... the name of the book. Why did you choose that cat?
I've got to tell you the truth, Steve. I had another title in mind. In fact, it was Running Mates. And it was the head of the publishing firm who said, Ulysses S. Cat and Other Animals I Have Known. And I met Ulysses S. Cat was my was my late mother's last pet, her last cat, big orange cat, and who was intensely loyal to my mother. And so when we would come to visit, you have to understand our daughters, particularly you know, when they were young, my mother would say would use the same voice with our daughters that she had used with Ulysses. Could she would say to our daughters, how are you, my babies? What can I get you? Are you hungry? What can I do for you? Now, Ulysses thought that tone of voice was reserved only for him.
Uh-huh.
So he would snarl and hiss and all that sort of thing. So that he should wind up being the title character of this book is his final and best revenge on our family. But I must say, what I loved about doing the book was that I got to revisit the story of Ulysses. And now I admire how utterly loyal he was to my mother at a time in her life when she was lonely and needed it. And also to my late stepfather, who was bedridden at that point and felt he wasn't doing much in life. But all Ulysses wanted from him was to curl up on the stomach and to curl up under his arm. So, yeah, Ulysses earns the title.
You know, there's video after video available on YouTube of someone's last moments and they want to see their animal. Do you think that there is this connection that we still don't even quite understand?
Oh, I absolutely think there is that connection. You know, look, we've been together for centuries, us and animals. You can go back and read the great, you know, memoirs of ancient Greece, and animals figure into them. And when Odysseus returned from overseas, it was his animal who was Argos, the dog who was waiting for him. And actually sniffed him out and identified him after all those years. You know, we go back for centuries. We have many societies. People are buried with their animals. And what I like to think is, in a way, you know, we look to carry them forward for wherever we go in life and whatever is destined for us after this life.
Well, actually, Cro-Magnon, humans, going back even further than you're going back, were often buried with their dogs, which demonstrated a connection even way back then, 40,000 plus years ago. When we come back, I want to hear about Daisy the French Poodle. Those stories are interesting. And also you covering Sarajevo and how you were moved by people protecting, during a war, their pets.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with the great Scott Simon, Ulysses S. Cat, and Other Animals I Have Known. After this, the name of the book is Ulysses S. Cat and Other Animals I Have Known. You know him from NPR's Weekend Edition, Up First, and a special contributor to CBS News Sunday Morning. He's a Radio Hall of Famer, which makes me really nervous. Scott Simon is here with us. And Scott, I said going into the break, something about Daisy the French Poodle kind of made me laugh as I was reading the book.
Well, she makes us laugh all the time. Daisy is a French poodle, although we got her on the streets of New York. There were a couple of ballet dancers from the Joyce Ballet who were crying on the street and said they couldn't keep her because they traveled too much, and their landlord said they couldn't keep her. My wife called me, and she said, Dunning, can you get down to Chelsea? My wife is French. And she was a French poodle. And, of course, we texted our daughters who were then 10 years younger, immediately. And we said, if we get this little puppy, will you take care of it and feed it and walk it? Of course, they said yes, but that's not, you know, that's not an everlasting promise. Let's put it that way. We wound up doing a lot of it. And, you know, she's absolutely charming and absolutely French, which is to say, now, I should explain, Steve, as I do in the book, that I am Daisy's interpreter. And Daisy absolutely loves people. So when we walk her along the river in the morning, she's always going up to people and people are always going up to her. And I know that Daisy is saying, I'm cute, huh? You like me, huh? You cannot resist me, huh? You must give me the pet. For some reason, Steve, my wife, who is French, finds Daisy's accent to be inauthentic. I have no explanation for that. You know, it's what can I tell you? It's what Daisy sounds like. a couple of years ago, my wife and daughters were out in California, and they encountered, they were at a horse event, and they encountered an animal psychic, and they brought Daisy over and put her in the arms of the animal psychic and said, could you ask Daisy what she thinks of our father's impression of her? And the pet psychic, according to them, leaned down. Daisy relaxed in her arms, and she looked up, and she said, well, Daisy says it's not her voice, but she knows that your father seems to enjoy it, so it's all right with her. So I think that pet psychic is brilliant in her own, you know, low craven way. She's figured out a way to keep customers with her.
Yes, I was just going to ask if that was the case, or you really believed the psychic.
Daisy, I should explain, also writes haiku, which are often posted on social media. And at every book stop that I've made in my tour, Daisy seems to impart a haiku. You know, French poodles are very intelligent. I tell her haiku is not like a really complicated poetic form, right? It's 5-7-5. But she seems to enjoy it, so she does it. Although I'm not sure I can say anything because, you know, a lot of her haiku have to do with green poo bags and stuff. Because, you know, Steve, a great writer writes about what they know.
True enough. And you know about, so I want to ask you about this. You have clearly been touched by animals, and yeah. You consider them members of the family, but
yeah.
It seems to be, they're not your kids, but they kind of are. And that's the way our society, you're not alone. And in fact, studies have demonstrated that people want more, quote unquote, rights or privileges for animals. So they're not just legally considered chattel or property. Judges have gone as far as they can in some cases to say, OK, we know this. And we do know this, that our dogs and cats are sentient beings that have feelings, neurochemistry in their brains to demonstrate it, that is similar to our own.
Absolutely. And, you know, they form relationships, and those relationships are often with us. Look, I covered Hurricane Katrina and covered particularly the story of a woman named Miss Anita who refused, maybe I should just say declined, to be evacuated as the storm advanced because she was surrounded by her dogs and cats. And I was touched by the emergency crew who came, would try to persuade her to leave, but had not leaned on her and came to her funeral because they seemed to recognize the fact that she had the right to make a life and death decision. And as far as she was concerned, it was a decision to turn her life over to the same fate as her animals. And, you know, the law was changed after Hurricane Katrina because there were so many people in Mississippi and Louisiana and other places who refused to be evacuated because they were not allowed to bring their household pets or service animals. That law has been changed. And I think to the result of living in a better society because we are all part of the same family. I mean, when I covered the siege of Sarajevo, one of the things, many things that impressed me about Sarajevans was the fact that they kept their animals with them. They shared their meager supplies of humanitarian aid with their dogs and cats and birds because they just did not want to survive the siege, this terrible savage war, without them. They felt keeping their animals going was a way of keeping their own humanity and care and civility alive, too.
Did you talk to any of those people, a translator around, where you actually, but you could go further, you could be safer, if you didn't have to, quote, drag this dog with you?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, notably, and by the way, most of the conversations were often in English, which is widely spoken in Sarajevo. We came under sniper fire as we were with someone who was walking their dog, and we had to run for cover. Because, as they explained, you cannot tell a dog, I'm sorry, there's sniper fire out there. There's no such thing as a walk today. So they would walk their animals, even taking on great danger, because it was important to their animals. This was a bargain that they made with them. And we notably, it's become a well-known story. In fact, I told it at the Radio Hall of Fame dinner. We came under fire, and my recording engineer said, I do not want to get shot doing an effing pet story. But I happened to see her the other night on book tour. She's in New Orleans, as a matter of fact. And she said, you know, that story is so good. If, you know, if it had happened, I would have accepted my fate.
Well, I accept the fate of reading this book, and I recommend it to all of you because it's both entertaining, but also stories like the one we just heard, very touching at times, demonstrating the human-animal bond as only Scott Simon, because it's beautifully written, can do. Ulysses S. Cat and Other Animals I Have Known. Scott, a pleasure to talk with you.
Pleasure to talk to you, Steve. Thanks so much.
What do you think the number one behavior problem is for dogs? Number two, sometimes called reactivity or aggression to people or aggression to other dogs. Usually dogs are not aggressive to both people and to other dogs. In any which case, number one is separation anxiety. And why that is number one now, I am not so sure. But I've got good news. The good news, because separation anxiety is so frustrating to deal with. These dogs, when you leave the house, they literally are having a panic attack. That's what it is. But first, it has to be diagnosed as separation anxiety. I mean, you wouldn't diagnose your dog with diabetes or heart disease, and separation anxiety is kind of the same in a way. Record your dog with video, and your veterinarian, hopefully, I think, will be able to tell whether that dog is, say, the neighbors are saying, oh, the dog is barking when you're not home. Well, maybe the dog is barking at the window out of boredom. Maybe the dog is barking because that's what dogs like to do when people walk by, or they're reinforced because it's self-reinforcing. It just feels good for dogs to bark, for example. Or the dog might be thinking, I did my job. I barked. And then the delivery guy went the other way. Of course, the delivery guy was ultimately going to go the other way anyway, but the dog doesn't know that. Dogs may tear up pillows or such, or have accidents for other reasons as well. Yeah, all of that could be signs of separation anxiety, but are they having a good time tearing up that pillow, or are they in panic attack mode and don't know what else to do, so they sort of quote-unquote take it out on the pillow or pillows? So the good news, and I'll get to it right now, it's a newly approved drug. It's called Tessy, and it's Food and Drug Administration Center for Veterinary Medicine recently approved specifically to treat separation anxiety as well as noise aversion in dogs. Now, why noise aversion? Because it turns out that a significant percent of dogs, as many, according to one study, as 40% of dogs with separation anxiety also have noise aversion. So this can help dogs who are also fearful of fireworks or thunderstorms, which I'll get to in a second, traffic noises, and that sort of thing. However, let me get to the thunderstorms. I'm kind of cynical about this because dogs that have thunderstorm anxiety, they'll tell you what's happening in the weather as good as Tom Skilling did. They will be able to predict because they can tell that a thunderstorm is coming. So it's not only the noise of the storm, it's barometric pressure changes as well as things we don't even understand, but they know it's coming and they begin to react well before. In any which case, thought you'd want to hear about this news. Good morning again. We are about to make the most special announcements you will ever hear in the history of WGN Radio. On with me are the president and CEO of the Every Cat Health Foundation, John Manchester, who is Windy City Sweets. He's the president there. It's a store, actually, where they sell ice cream and fudge and other sweets. It's on Broadway, just north of Belmont. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so explain, first of all, what the Every Cat Health Foundation is, Jackie.
We are the only nonprofit foundation in the world completely dedicated to focusing on feline health research. So everything that goes into making your cat healthy and happy, we have had a hand in studying that so that can be possible.
So what does John Manchester, the owner of a place that sells ice cream and licorice and all sorts of candies and fudge, which, by the way, they make their own, What does that have to do with any of this? Well, let me back up one step. And John, if you forgive me, I will tell some of the story here. So it was when the pandemic happened, and I was in the vaccine trial, actually, for what has become the COVID vaccine. And they would pay me a stipend, a little bit of money, and not a lot of places were open. But clearly, a place that sells ice cream is a place that needs to be open during the pandemic, and you were. So I would go there and get this banana pudding ice cream that I was crazy about. And I would like live eating banana pudding ice cream. And at some point I went in, and you actually were kind enough to put my face in front of the ice cream. It's a dream come true for me. And it was, you know, those plastic things, you know, when you look at the ice creams and you, that one. My face was right there in front of the banana one. Well, one day in walks Paul Lisnick, and he looks and sees my face. Now, I've known Paul forever. I mean, literally forever. And he gets all upset because you know how he is. So he said, I want an ice cream too. And in fact, we had a competition. And I don't remember the ice cream he had at that point. I think now it's called I'm in the Gutter. What is it called?
It's Chicago Pothole was his favorite.
Yeah, that figures. So anyway, we had a competition. And of course, I won the competition. People as to whose ice cream would sell the most. And you so kindly gave dollars to anti-cruelty at that time. And this all happened during the pandemic. You know, we would meet there and I'd have my mask on and Paul would have my mask on and we'd fight about the ice cream. Let's fast forward the clock. Someone, as we have a meeting in Chicago, every Cat Health Foundation, I'm on the board. We happen to have a meeting in Chicago coming up. And Virginia Rood, who is works for Every Cat Health Foundation, thought of the idea because she has seen, as many people have, in social media, this ice cream competition. And she said, why don't we have an ice cream social? And I will let you pick it up from there, John.
So we're so happy to partner with Every Cat. And what we're doing is we have a flavor. We have it Calico Cat flavor, which is our Salty Jack flavor, but for between now and June 16th of our ice cream show, social, the event, we every scoop that we sell, we are going to donate a portion to Every Cat. In addition to that, we also have an Every Cat Health Foundation cookie, and a portion of the cookie sales, actually $2 for every cookie that we sell, will go to the Every Cat Health Foundation. And then for the ice cream social, again on the 16th, the first 50 people will get a free scoop of ice cream.
That's amazing. So, you know, when I think about scoops and think cats, I normally don't think ice cream, but now I am. And and that is a great thing. And you're being very generous about this. But the important thing is that, Jackie, this will support funding for cat health studies.
Cats and ice cream are very important. we're so grateful for the ice cream social and for having this hosted at Windy City Suites. And we can't wait to meet whoever would like to come down. I think it's between 7 and 9 in the evening. And we will have staff members, board members, will be able to talk to you about your cat and the work we do through Every Cat, and have some fun swag and maybe some raffle items as well. So we're very excited to share your collective knowledge about ice cream and ours about cats.
So if you have questions about ice cream, or if you have questions, actually, the board members, many of the board members of the Every Cat Health Foundation are veterinary leading experts on the planet when it comes to cats. So if you have cat questions, they will not be specific because you're not allowed to do that if it's not your veterinarian, but they can answer general questions about cats as well. And I have questions for Jackie about the Every Cat Health Foundation. I have questions for John Manchester about Windy City Suites. We'll get to those, but first, where is Windy City Suites, John?
We're at 3308 North Broadway in the Lakeview neighborhood, real close to Wrigley Field, about a 7-minute walk.
Yeah, and just north of Belmont on
Belmont.
Broadway. Yeah, yeah. And
correct.
There's no admission to enter on June 16th, I don't believe.
There is not. Free entry. Come in. Like I said, the first 50 will get a free scoop. And then you can also buy scoops or anything else that's in the store. And, you know, rub elbows with cat people. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, cat people. But we want to see as many people there as possible, mostly because we want to spread the word about the Every Cat Health Foundation. We will do more to spread the word about the Every Health Cat Foundation, everycat.org, incidentally, when we come back on WGN, Talking Cats, Talking Ice Cream. It's an ice cream social, an event you don't hear about necessarily every day, or a term that you don't hear about anymore. It kind of harkens back to back in the day. But John, your store, Windy City Sweets, is kind of like back in the day in some ways, isn't it?
It is. We are a gourmet chocolate shop. We've been around since 1983, and we have general line candy stuff that was your favorite, your grandfather's favorite, your father's favorite, maybe even your great grandfather's favorite. We've got stuff that goes back into the early teens, and we make our own gourmet chocolates here too. We have a chocolate window when you come in. It's our chocolate case of handmade chocolates. We make our own fudge here. We do have a licorice bar with licorice from all over the world. I think we have over 40 different flavors right now. And then we also have our ice cream. We have 32 flavors, one more than the bad guys. And we also have a non-dairy sorbet too, for those people that can't have dairy. So
yeah, several choices I know of sorbet. And one ice cream in particular will be available, and that is actually two I want to point out. One was once Salty Jack and now has been renamed to what?
It's our Calico Cat ice cream.
And anytime now through the 16th of June, some of the sales will go to Every Cat Health Foundation. So even if you can't come on the 16th of June, you can go in any time and buy that ice cream, and you could help cats or the cookies. So you make these cookies that it looks like, I mean, you could even put a face on the cookies. In fact, you've done that. You've put my face, other faces on cookies. and you could talk to John about that on the 16th. If you have a friend or family members, or maybe there's a party or whatever, and you want a logo or a face on cookies, Jackie, the Every Cat, the other ice cream. The other ice cream, the most important thing in the world. Is called what?
It's called Steve's Nana Banana Pudding.
And it's such an honor to have an ice cream name for me, I will tell you, Jackie. Now, I want to know more about the Every Cat Health Foundation and the difference that you make for cats, how this organization is so unique, and why people who like or love cats should be there to support the Every Cat Health Foundation.
I think eating ice cream on behalf of cat health is a great endeavor. I'm looking forward to it. But really, if you love cats or just getting to know about cats, supporting their health from today and going forward is something very important. Every Cat Health Foundation is the world's only nonprofit focused solely on advancing cat health research, and we rely on so many people and their support and their interest in cats to move that ever forward.
So, for example, feline infectious peritonitis, I'd argue, although Every Cat Health Foundation has been around nearly 60 years now, for about five of those decades or more, has been focusing focusing a lot, on solving FIP, always considered fatal, now considered very treatable. Is that an example?
That is a great example. I mean, that also is something near and dear to you, and treating hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, heart disease, working on advancing treatments for kidney disease, every aspect of caring for your cat, we have had a part in that somehow.
Yeah. If your cat has ever been treated by a veterinarian, in fact, every Cat Health Foundation has had a part in it. And now there's a special fund. The new focus will be diabetes, Jackie.
Yes, recently we actually, in honor of one of our board members, Kara Burns, her cats, we've renamed a focus fund for O'Malley and advancing endocrine treatments and diabetes treatments.
Yep. So, I mean, I can't stress enough how important this organization is for cats. I mean, truly. So incredibly important, an honor of my life, really, to be on the board for 25 or however many years. I guess you can't get rid of me, but I'm still there for now. And it's such a great organization. John, I'm so grateful you are helping out. Tell us again, go through the basics about the event.
It's at Windy City Suites, 3308 North Broadway. So we're just north of Belmont on Broadway. And what we're doing that night at 7 o'clock on June 16th, we are having an ice cream social. The first 50 people will get a free scoop of ice cream. And then we have a special ice cream between now and the event. It's our Calico Cat ice cream, which is our Salty Jack. That's named special for that. We will give a portion of the proceeds for every sale to Every Cat Foundation. And then also we have our cookies. It's Face on a Cookie. That's our branded name on it. That we have an Every Cat Health Foundation cookie. And $2 for every cookie sold will go to Every Cat Foundation.
And that's the way the cookie crumbles. And I hope to see everyone there. Now, John, this is the most important, insightful question. I'm only asking you. Do not tell anyone what your answer is, except right now you will answer. And that is, okay, you walk into the store, and if you can get one thing at Windy City Suites, what would it be?
I walk in, I go to the left to our giant cooler, our freezer, and I grab a pint of Steve's Nana Banana Pudding.
It's that good. I love it because you make your own fudge. You've got licorice. You've got all these vintage-type candies, and this is the one you choose. I love that. I couldn't be happier about that. I'm so honored. It is the honor of my life, Jackie, to have an ice cream named for me. Now, if you love cats and can't attend, and we have listeners all over the United States as well, you can keep up with cat health news through the website and even, I think, sign up for a newsletter.
Yes, if you go to everycat.org, you can find out all kinds of information about the work that we do, and you can sign up for our e-newsletter, and that will notify you about our additional events, about free webinars that we have online, and all kinds of activities.
And do people get extra scoops if they order my ice cream? Well, maybe not. I don't know. John Manchester, you are terrific. I'm so grateful. You've helped the anti-cruelty, and now you're helping cats in Chicago. Cats actually around the world through the Every Cat Health Foundation. Again, I'll be there for sure on June 16th. John Manchester of Windy City Suites. Jackie Ott-Jacola, CEO and President of the Every Cat Health Foundation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
It wasn't all that long ago. If you somehow, some way needed physical therapy, it wasn't covered by insurance. And today, fast forward the clock to today, there are physical therapy places on every block, right? And now insurance routinely covers physical therapy, as insurance should cover physical therapy, because it's been proven over and over again as a reliable mode of helping people to get better and also keeping them from re-injuring themselves, which saves money for insurance companies and all of us. It makes perfect sense. Well, is it any different for dogs? It really shouldn't be. And next week, we'll talk with Dr. Leilani Alvarez, who is the author of Handbook of Canine Exercise Therapy. We'll talk to you next week, bright and early, on WGN.